Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station. This is WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
And three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number two, WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens on a Patriot Monday. Fresh off the preseason opener, 48-18. A touchdown the first time you literally touch the football. Travion Henderson proving he's indeed a weapon as an athlete and a returner. That's all we're talking about here, nothing more.
Thank you.
Fitzy feeling good. His favorite football team has some buzz about it heading into a big week of joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings and then another preseason game, and you're kind of rolling along. You left mostly healthy while other teams are dealing with some major injuries. No disrespect to Lan Larson or any of those guys, but like, you're relatively healthy, so I would say all is pretty good in Patriot Nation right now. Is that fair to say, Fitzy?
I think when you look at a team like the Chargers who lose their Pro Bowl left tackle who just signed a three-figure hundreds of millions of dollar deal and have to switch your right tackle over to your left, which drastically alters your plans for the season. And we're talking about, you know, you're a fourth string running back breaking his foot comparatively. Yeah. And I don't think there's a team, Andy, save for the Jaguars and the 70-yard freaking field goal that guy blasted through the uprights over the weekend. I don't think there's a team that had a greater highlight than the Patriots rookie running back, second round pick, 38th overall, taking the opening kick, the first touch of the ball, a hundo straight to the house. I mean, can you remember a greater first touch or debut moment for a Patriots player than Travion Henderson taking it back a buck for six on the opening kickoff?
No, but to be fair, I sometimes forget what I had for breakfast, so I don't know if that's a great barometer of past preseason really debuts.
Okay.
It's 3 o'clock. It's time for the three-point stance.
319!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you're worried about your situational situations, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. It is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. We have three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and myself, Dan Ball. Andy, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
I'm ready and excited to go.
Well, stop yawning, and here's 60 seconds for your three-point stance. Go.
So there was a player that I saw do his job Friday night that I immediately said, he can play. He's going to be good. I would bet anything on it. No, it's not Travion Henderson. No, it's not Efton Chisholm or DJ James or Parker Booty Romo, whatever the heck his name is, on the 57-yard field goal. It is your left tackle, Will Campbell, the number 4 pick in the draft. And I don't know exactly what position he's going to play still. I want to make that clear. But when I watched him pull on that Travion Henderson run down the left sideline, I said, oh my God, this is one of the most athletic open field blockers I've seen. He may have to bump into guard. I don't know. He may be your next freaking Logan Mankins or John Hanna, whatever you want to compare him to, since we're doing comparisons to greatness in Patriot history. But I know this, and I said this last week, if Will Campbell is a Pro Bowl caliber player at any position, it was a good pick. Will Campbell is going to be a Pro Bowl caliber offensive lineman. I saw the physicality. I saw the finish. I saw the athleticism. Clean it up and be good enough at left tackle for this year, and then we'll figure out the rest as it comes. But Will Campbell, enjoy your 10-year career as a mainstay on the line.
He got a 90.4 grade from Pro Football Focus for his run blocking.
Is that out of 100?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That sounds like an A.
It is an A. It was a bit lower. I know he said he would protect his quarterback with his life, but I think he knew better than the C minus that he got at 72.6.
We can clean that up. There was obviously. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about this moving forward. The two rookies playing the left side of the line. Ted Johnson saying, "What would you do?" Feast. Curran saying, "Yeah, but if they get it, that's a good thing." The evolution of where this goes. We have some interesting numbers from Mike Reese, who did a little research for us in his Sunday notes in regards to that topic. But the reality is, Will Campbell can play, and they're going to go through experiences. Okay, they ran a twist on you. Don't let it happen again. Don't be an error repeater. You're going to have errors. They're going to struggle. I guarantee every rookie offensive lineman does. They learn things because the guys on the other side are good. They're scheming for them. They're veterans, all of that stuff. But when you, it's just the characteristics. When you watch Will Campbell, you say, that guy can move people. That guy can out-athlete defensive players. That guy can be an asset for your line. I loved what I saw from Will Campbell. I mean, Ted may have a different view. We'll talk to Ted tomorrow, see what he thought of that situation. But I left that even more confident than ever that Will Campbell is part of the foundation of your line for a while now.
Yeah, and Andy, how about also guys like Brian Baldinger swooping in on Saturday morning with a Baldy's breakdown, saying how impressed he was with him as well? Kind of goes into the whole last week of my little conversation with Mark Schlereth as well about, like, yeah, this, if the guy has a firm base, a good trunk, and the will to win and wants to get nasty, that's exactly what Will Campbell showed out with. The downfield and second level blocking Friday night was awesome. And, you know, in just perusing Twitter, Instagram, people's stories afterwards, there was a lot of Pats fans that aren't necessarily film guys or people that repost stories of, like, downfield blocks. A lot of people were getting into, like, the Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Paul Perillo weeds and woods, if you will, like, loving them some Will Campbell, because I think people want to see it work out.
Oh, you kind of need it to work out. You can't blow the fourth pick
really
in the draft.
To work out.
If you blew the first round pick a couple of years ago on Mac Jones. You also blew one on Cole Strange. I forgot about that one. If you blow one on Will Campbell, that's you're in a bad rut of drafting that is long term not good for the franchise. So you need him to be good. Don't worry though, because he's going to be good. I just told you. You just got to listen.
And so far, in half of the game, he has been good. The other half, we'll see if he can.
Well, he didn't even play a full game.
Yeah, and he also didn't play regular NFL starters.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's see how he does this week when he goes up against the likes of, like, Jonathan Grenard, who's
going to get killed.
Underrated pass rusher.
No, he's going to get killed. Flores is going to throw something at him. This is the first time I've ever heard of a team. The Patriots did some time on the practice field today prepping for the Vikings, because Brian Flores, Garrett Bradbury, if you read it, talked about it yesterday, that he has seen teams come in against the Vikings and just get smoked and embarrassed because Flores throws the kitchen sink at him. They didn't
dials
game
it up,
plan
as they like to say.
The whole
yeah.
thing. So the Patriots spent time today preparing for Brian Flores and the Vikings. Even with that, though, I am pretty sure there's going to be some reports out of Minnesota that, Will Campbell got killed on this play and he got killed on that play. That's okay. It's called learning. It happens. It's part of the process. I'm just talking about, I have seen the characteristics and the ability the dude can play, and the dude's going to be playing for a long time.
Love it. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Positivity for once. Hot.
I know. We'll wait until tomorrow's three-point stance when it magically disappears with something
Wait,
else.
Hold on. We have 3 hours of show left. You think it's going to be tomorrow? Hold on. We still have the 4 o'clock hour, the 5 o'clock hour?
I don't know. He was around Patriots camp today, so normally that gives him a little kick in the ass for the rest
That's
of the show.
That's true.
Oh, wait till we talk Red Sox.
Yeah, exactly.
The strikeout kings. Not the interest kings anymore. They're the K-kings.
All right, Mr. Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
I, too, am full of optimism about the football team and ready to rock and roll, baby.
All right, well, let's hear it. Here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I appreciate Andy mentioning the person at the heart of my three-point stance in his as well, because he said he didn't really care about him that much and was laser-focused on the future success of Will Campbell, which I think is true, and I think he's going to be a terrific player. But this just in, hate to tell you, Andy, hate to tell you, Pats Nation, hate to tell you, everyone who sat on Media Hill all training camp long saying, I'm concerned about the long-term prospects of Efton Chisholm, because guess what? This guy is making the New England Patriots football team. This is no longer a long shot. It's not a lock at this point, but I think signs indicate, and the trending indicators are, that Efton Chisholm is going to find a way to work his way, not just into the heart of Pats fans, not just into the goodwill of people like me who love a good underdog and undrafted free agent story slash Amendola, Little, Welker as slot receiver as much as the next guy. When your offensive coordinator calls multiple plays for you, when you win the confidence of multiple quarterbacks, and your head coach or your potential head coach says on Friday night after your first preseason game that he admires your playing strength and your effort all camp long and in your first chance to have real game action against an NFL team, you can't slight that. Oh, and by the way, he comes back Sunday and even draws the love from Mike Reese, who says he made the play of the game and possibly the catch of camp on a corner fade from Josh Dobbs. Folks, I'm telling you right now, it's not just a little slot dream anymore. Efton Chisholm is going to be a member of the New England Patriots this season.
Okay, so Fitzy, I actually want to ask you to expand on that a little bit. So who makes up your Patriots wide receiver room if we're sitting here on August the 11th?
I saw a couple of 53-man projections, and oh boy, get ready for that, folks. Get ready for every annoying, hey, here's my fantasy sleeper of the year, and hey, here's my 53-man projection. There are going to be so damn many of them. I think you're going to have seven receivers. I think they're going to only carry three running backs, two, maybe three tight ends. But here's what happens, like with the sort of like tight end receiver flexibility of a big body like Mac Hollins, that sort of like covers two positions for you. Plus, he's got special teams ability like many of these guys do. You're going to have Pop. You're going to have, obviously, Stephon Diggs. You're going to have Kayshon Booty. You're going to have Kyle Williams. Maybe Javon Baker makes it as a special teamer, and then he can get a couple of reps in season if he continues to grow and mature. But Efton Chisholm has carved a niche for himself. The tweets of, oh, don't worry, he's going to make it to the practice squad. Andy, how many times, and maybe we'll get to this later in the Fitzy 5, on the number of times guys have gone off in preseason and then amounted to a whole hell of a lot of nothing in the regular season. But how many times have you seen guys go off like this and get, dare I say, Berrios? Remember 2019, Braxton Berrios has a nice preseason. They think they can sneak him through to waivers. Next thing you know, claimed by the Jets and then has a, you know, nice 5-6 year run with the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, it happens. I still find it hard to believe that if you cut the seventh receiver from the worst receiving core in football, everybody's going to be lining up to grab him on waivers. I'm still not a believer or a buyer in the Efton Chisholm thing. As I said earlier, I thought he did his work against guys that certainly will not be NFL players. Now, maybe he earned earlier reps moving forward, mm-hmm. which would be nice to assess him in the coming preseason games. He is a polarizing figure. I can tell you, as somebody who spends a lot of time on the media hill, the people that love them some Efton Chisholm are strong, passionate defenders of his. And those who think he is a dime a dozen, did nothing, not impressive, look at the level of competition and the time of the game kind of guy, they are also very strongly opinionated down there. This is going to be an interesting one. I told you, I thought there was a good chance he might lead the NFL in catches this preseason, and he had whatever it was, six in this game. I think that's a possibility. I also don't think that necessarily means he is one of your top receivers. I also think it's one of those weird things. When you say keep seven, I'm like, okay, so you know we don't have great quality, so we're just going to keep a lot of quantity at the wide receiver position, I think is an interesting approach. So we're going to be talking about this. He is a popular, polarizing figure in Patriot Nation right now. And I'm still, if it were me, he's going on the practice squad. And I would feel quite comfortable putting on waivers and getting him to the practice squad. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm a little anxious about that. I think he may just make enough plays now. Like, look, I just retweeted it from at Patriots, at Fitzy GFY, the play on Sunday that I referenced, the one that had Mike Reese jumping out of his shorts where he went up against Marcus Jones in coverage, man-on-man, in the corner of the end zone on a ball where he has to leave his feet, go a good full foot up in the air, and he beats the Patriots' top slot cornerback on a jump ball. Like, it's impressive. He keeps impressing with his skills, his quickness, his lateral movement, obviously now the verticals, and he looked good Friday night. I think there's a little something there, and I know I'm prone to this, and I fall in love with these guys every preseason, as do lots of other ones, and there's every Patriots fan cliche intended therein. If they want to play the game and run the risk of losing him, so be it, but I think the kid makes the team, and I think he gets meaningful reps.
Example of the polarizing nature of one, Efton Chisholm, consecutive texts. come on, guys. Chisholm was amazing against third and fourth string players. Not going to make it. Chiz is the 2025 version of Edelman. Okay, so
there we go. Reasonable on both fronts. Well,
reality might be somewhere in between.
Well, Andy, this is a very here's a good question. Finally, one from you, Fitzy. So Edelman, Amendola, Welker, did these guys all, like most of them, Edelman, a seventh round pick, obviously, Welker and Amendola, undrafted free agents. Did they get practice squad time first? Did they get cut or did they make their respective teams at first? I think
so
they made their teams.
Welker got cut. He was with San Diego, I believe, before he ended up in Miami. I believe he had some practice squad time in there and was well. He bumped around a little bit. Edelman was strictly in New England, but it took him 4 years, basically, to kind of work his way up, establish himself. You remember he had the broken foot. He visited the Giants. He almost left. They signed Amendola to really take over the slot role when Welker left, and then Edelman kind of actually slid right into the job when Amendola got banged up. So they all have various routes that they've taken to success. Routes. We struggle
routes.
With that.
Funny hearing you say routes. Hey, by the way, here's a quote from Marty Schottenheimer regarding the release of Wes Welker in 2004, thinking they could sneak him through to the practice squad. Schottenheimer said, in terms of roster cuts, releasing Welker was, quote, the biggest mistake I ever made.
Wow. That's coaches doing coach speak thing. It's when Bill Belichick said his biggest mistake was releasing Robbie Gould. Really? That's your biggest mistake? You ever hear of Malcolm Butler?
Kicker.
You lost a Super Bowl because of Malcolm Butler, and that's your biggest mistake?
That's a fair point.
Never forget that Bill Belichick's biggest risk was signing with the Patriots, and Robert Kraft's risk was signing Bill Belichick.
That's true.
Never forget. When people are speaking in absolutes, it's usually a little bit of an exaggeration. All right, we have a couple more minutes left, so I'll sneak a three-point stance in before we go to break. Stiz, may I have 60 seconds, please?
Your time to shine is right now, Dan.
I don't know about that, but I'll do my best. I'm also sticking in football. And I want to talk about the guy that lined up next to Will Campbell, and that is Jared Wilson, who I like and I think has a bright future with this team. I just don't think he has a bright future at the position he's currently playing, and I think the Patriots are doing Jared Wilson a disservice by playing him at guard. He played a total of 93 college snaps at the guard position during his time at Georgia. He played right and left guard, 77 snaps at right guard, and the remaining at left guard. He barely played the position that he's playing at the collegiate level and is now being asked to start as Andy mentioned, against a rookie who is doing all right but still growing. I think the Patriots would do both Jared Wilson, the offensive line, and Drake May a service if they just let him play center. Garrett Bradbury last year ranked 33rd among all centers according to Pro Football Focus. He's barely a starter in this league. If you know your offensive line is young, you know that you're trying to value the youth movement if you're the Patriots, why not let the guy who is a natural center play his natural position and hopefully be the center of the future that can grow with Drake May as he continues to grow in the league. So I would argue that the Patriots should make a switch on the offensive line. Garrett Bradbury kicks over. You kick Jared Wilson back to the middle. You have a veteran in between the two rookies. And as Andy mentioned, it may be worse, but I don't think it would be any worse if you made that switch and let the guy grow at his natural spot.
I do kind of like the idea of Jared Wilson just becoming the center.
Yeah.
You're going to be the center. You're going to be the center for Drake May.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future. Get comfortable in that role. And it is interesting with his history at Georgia, where they thought he was one of the best five offensive linemen, but didn't play him his junior year because they wanted him healthy to be center and that whole thing, which I'm not sure I get that logic either. But this is something we're going to be talking about all year long, is these two guys in particular. Yep. Are they talented? Yes. Can they play? Yes. Can they play the position they're at? I don't know. We're going to find out kind of thing. There's a delayed response there. And some of that will be on Marone. And then it gets into something we talked to a lot about last year, was just like five best guys. Are you doing the five best guys or the five best fits? And how do you kind of put those together? It's also not a great look for Cole Strange, who I brought up earlier. The fact that...
No, it is not.
You know, in an ideal world, Jared Wilson's your center, Cole Strange is your left guard, and Will Campbell is your left tackle. The fact that they don't believe in Cole Strange at this point in his career... It may no longer be a career crossroads for Cole Strange.
No, he might have picked the fork in the road direction he wanted, Fitz.
Yeah, but boys, what about, Dan, I agree with you. At this point, Garrett Bradbury was in the lower third run. He was middle of the pack to lower third running as far as run blocking. He was worse than about 10 backup centers as far as pass blocking goes.
Yeah.
Like, he gets mauled. He's smaller than Ryan Wendell, and he's probably going to get get a face full of some of the better defensive tackles in the NFL early on with the Patriots. So Jared Wilson's a bigger dude. I'd get him in there as well, Dan. I couldn't agree more with that. And as far as left guard goes, like, what does this say about City So and Layden Robinson, that there's an opportunity right there for the taking, and none of these guys can grab hold of it?
Yeah, it's not great. They want to play two centers over those guards, and I guess that's why Doug Marone and company make the big bucks. 617-779-7937 if you want to react to a football-heavy three-point stance. A lot of optimism from a couple of us, not so much Dan Ball, but
sorry.
At least Will Campbell and Efton Chisholm are impressing Fitzy and Hart on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, the Boston Red Sox were impressing us. Then the weekend came, and, well, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres, and now we're back to a crochet day where we really need him to go out and be the ace that he is. We'll look back at the weekend that was for your Boston Red Sox as they stumbled a bit on the West Coast. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Red Sox fell to the San Diego Padres in the rubber game of their series yesterday afternoon. The final score was 6-2. Boston has lost back-to-back games for the first time since July 21st and 22nd. The road trip continues tonight as the Red Sox open up a 3-game series against the Houston Astros. First pitch is at 8:10. Garrett Crochet starts against Christian Javier, who is making his season debut after recovering from Tommy John surgery. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins tonight at 7:10, and Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo have the call of the series. From earlier today, the Red Sox called up left-handed pitcher Giovanni Moran from AAA Worcester. He has a 3.44 ERA and 18 and a third innings since returning from Tommy John surgery. Also, catcher Ali Sanchez, whom the Red Sox claimed off waivers from the Blue Jays, will be active for tonight's game. More roster moves are expected. The Patriots beat the Washington Commanders 48-18 in their preseason opener at Gillette Stadium. New England returned to practice today for a session that was closed to the public. The Patriots head to Minnesota for joint practices with the Vikings on Wednesday and Thursday. They play the Vikings on the road on Saturday afternoon. The Celtics waive power forward Miles Norris on Sunday night, opening up a two-way contract slot. And the New England Revolution beat DC United 2-0 on Saturday at Gillette. Visit the 99 Restaurant Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the Crispy Fried Twin Catch with North Atlantic Cod and Crispy Shrimp, just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.